Father Almighty God, I ask in the name of Jesus for the grace to teach and instruct your word. I pray, O Lord, that your word is clear, simple, easily understood, but powerful and life-changing. Eternal Rock of Ages, you are here. And you are here in full effect. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blessing of the ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit. I ask him to take over and let him teach as he would want to teach. Father Almighty God, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this before I go on. One more thing. In your notes and in your phones, mark today's date and look around you. In 12 months, and I say this carefully, in 12 months, if somebody comes late for a service, they will have nowhere to sit. Mark my words, a change is coming. A change is coming. God is about to pour out his spirit upon you because of the faithfulness of those you serve. So, ladies and gentlemen, down to the business of today. So this first session, like I said, will be very practical. I would ask, therefore, we're going to be looking at the subject of achievement. Achievement. Now, one thing I would say to start, let me ask a question. You can shout out your answers. I will repeat them. And it's this. We're looking at the subject of achievement. Achievement is not a gift. It is a skill. Let me repeat that. Achievement is not a gift. It is a skill. And when you are skilled in the things of God, achievement will come naturally. So let's have a look at the first thing I want you to, so this is one of the key things I want you to remember is this. The first thing when you look at achievement is the motivation for our actions must change. And I'll explain what I mean. Many times that the motivation for our actions are, I will survive. I will get through this. But remember what we said yesterday, that you are a change agent. And so your motivation has to change. And it is this, that if God said so, then I will go for it. The second thing I want you to remember is that, hear me well, the one thing God wants you to do when he speaks is believe him. Accept it as true. He will then begin the process on your inside to bring it to pass. But let your motivation be that if God has said it, then I believe him and I'm going to go for it. That's how change comes. And ladies and gentlemen, whatsoever you are wanting to achieve, think about it. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, reading from verse 12, the Bible says, it is God that works in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That means if God wants something done, he will plant it in you. He will give you a dream, a desire, or a picture that may not make sense, but that's what he wants to achieve in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, based upon that, when you think about achievement, when you think about achieving your goals, that picture is key. That God, have you told me? The second thing I want you to write down, and I might be going a little bit fast, but I will make sure I'm clear. The second thing I want you to do is, I want you to have a reality check. Now, what do I mean by a reality check? I want you to take stock of something, and the reality check is this. God is not here because of you. You are here because of God. Let me explain that really quickly before I give you the scriptures. God was not wandering around the universe with nothing to do. Then he saw a planet full of people and decided, you know what, I will be their God. That's not how God functions. By the way, that's how all the superheroes function. That's how Superman functions. You know what, I'm here, I'm stronger than everybody else, I'll just take over. That's not God. You are here because God decided to make you and create you to be who you are. But the Bible also says in 1 Peter 2, reading from verse 9, I'll read it from the Young's Literal Translation. So you may not have that, so don't worry. And you are a choice race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired, that the excellencies you may show forth of him who out of darkness did call you to his wondrous light. If you look at that in the King James Version, or you look at that in the NIV, it basically says that God has bought you with a price. And that means he has a plan for you. And if God paid that much for you, by the way, do you know how much God paid for you? Which also, let me help somebody with their value. Because the value of a thing many times is indicated by the price you pay for it. Your value, ladies and gentlemen, if it's determined by price, God paid Jesus Christ for you. Why? You're his child. He came to get you himself. That's how valuable you are. If that be the case, you can't be here for nothing. And so, ladies and gentlemen, remember, whatever your dreams and your desires are, the focus is not you. The focus is God. Are we together? Are we together? All right, let's go on. So, what do you do now? So what do you do? That's the question you need to ask. Okay, Pastor, I hear you. I am where I am right now. What do I do now? But I want you to make this practical. Can everybody on their notes write down what they want to achieve next? That means if you're in school, you want to get to the next grade, you want to pass your exams, you want to go to university, you want to get a grade one, you want to get through school, it depends. You want to get married, or you want to achieve a job, or you want to buy a house, or you want to do something for God. You want to let your life. I want you to write down, or you want to be out of debt, you want to be healed, write down what you want to achieve. So let's not be abstract. Because today could be abstract if you don't have a focus. Put the focus there. So everything I say is about achieving what you just wrote down. Are we together? Okay, so let's talk about change. We spoke about this yesterday, so I'll speak about it briefly. What do you do now? Ladies and gentlemen, I will say this with all respect, and I'll say it politely, but you need to grow up. What does that mean? It means you move from the state where you are to the next level. Grow up. Learn something new about God. Learn something new about your skills. If you're comfortable where you are, then it's time to move the bar forward. Growing demands change. Growth always demands change. That means if you are not changing, then you're not growing. The Bible says in the book of Peter, I think it is 1 Peter 2 verse 1, I'm not sure, or 1 Peter 3 verse 1, the Bible says, desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. God wants you to grow. God wants you to succeed. Okay? So, what do you need to do? You need to learn something new. Find something in the Bible. Find one of the principles in the Bible. Look at the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and learn something new. But you've got to let go of yesterday. Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19 are very interesting. The Lord says, Before I can move you to the next level, you have to let go of yesterday. I don't know whether this happened to you, but it happened to me as I moved to the next phrase. When I left primary school, I always wanted to go back to the playground. So one day in my full school uniform, I was home early, so I went to my old school. It looked so small. And I thought, wait, something's changed. This was my world for a while. All I ever wanted to do was come here and play football and, you know, learn stuff, and my friends were here. But now it looks so small because I had been to a bigger school. Ladies and gentlemen, please. Change will always demand you reaching for more. God wants you to reach for more. Are we together? Okay, so question. Now it's going to get interactive. I'm going to ask you a question. Imagine you are building a bridge. So this is we're moving on to the next phase. Remember, this is about achieving your goals. So imagine you are building a bridge. What is the first thing you need to do? Shout out your answers, please. God's grace. Pardon? God's grace? Very, very good answer. Thank you. You need God's grace. What else? You need to plan. Okay? What else? The first thing you need to do. So God's grace, plan. Find an architect. That's interesting. Keep going. Pardon? You need building permission. Very interesting. So I remember I said the first thing you are going to do. So I have architects, I have plans, I have somebody asking for God's grace, I have somebody who is planning. What else? There's something you need to do first. And this is key. Pardon? Count your costs. That's a very good answer. I was expecting that one. Because of time, let me help you. And I say this carefully, none of you are right. And that's not being cruel. And you do it every day. And this is how simple things can pass you by. When you want to build a bridge, what's the first thing you do is you identify where you want to get to. Otherwise, there's no point in building a bridge. You determine the destination you are going to. Then you start planning. Then you look for people. Then you count the cost. Are we together? But the first thing you do is determine your destination. Now, this is important. Let me simplify this because I've got young people in the room. Listen carefully. What does that mean? Write down where you want to go first. The Bible puts it like this. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But the Bible says, happy is he that keeps the law. Those two scriptures are together for a reason. Why? The power to be disciplined comes. No. Children are fine. Don't worry about. You just focus. They're fine. Listen carefully. The power to be disciplined comes when the picture of the destination is clear. And I'll give you an example. When I realized today I had to be here, or this weekend that we had to be here, it governed our actions. So I couldn't book anything for Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I had to make sure my car was right. I had to make sure that I had planned and prepared. I had to make sure that the teaching was right. It governed my actions. It governed what I did. Listen carefully. If you want to achieve your goals, the first thing you have to do is determine the destination clearly. And it is a destination that has a characteristic. So please, write this down. The first thing you need to do is determine a dream-based location. Why am I saying dream-based location? For one simple reason. When you are dreaming, nothing is impossible. Do we agree? In your dreams, you can do whatever you like. One minute you're in America, the next minute you're in France. Do we agree? You can run, you can jump, you never really die. You wake up, it's all over the place. Listen carefully. You have to develop a dream-based location. What do I mean by a dream-based location? You have to keep in mind that what you are reaching for is possible. That is essential. That what you are about to attempt is possible. And so, ladies and gentlemen, a grade one, a good university place, is possible. If you believe you can do it, the discipline to get you there will come. So let me give you a couple of pointers. The first thing is, invest time in having a clear and accurate picture of what is to be achieved. Invest time in having a clear and accurate picture of what is to be achieved. And I'll give you, there are two very successful examples. Number one is God. The Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 2, he determined the picture of what he wanted to achieve before he started. How do I know? Let me ask you a question. When God made light, had light existed before? But the Bible says when God saw the light, he said it was what? Good. What was he comparing it to? Pardon? No, he wasn't comparing it to darkness because that's the opposite. That doesn't make it good. Yours is a very good answer. But it's not comparing it to darkness. He said the light is good. He was comparing it to something on his inside. When you look for something on the internet, and then you go out to buy it in a shop, how do you know you found what you're looking for? It fits the picture you have with you. Do we agree? You look on your phone, that's it. That's what I want. That means God had a picture of light on his inside before light existed. Do we agree? Do we agree? Now, listen carefully. That's how your father functions. So that's how you have to function. The time invested in building a clear, accurate picture of a successful end is never wasted. Never. Second thing I want you to remember, when it is during the planning stage that you confront your internal demons. During the planning phase. And this is why, please remember this. I'm going to give you some statistics. Key element. It is while you are planning, you can address your challenges before they arrive. During the planning phase. Because if you sit down carefully and realize, you know what, if I want to pass my exams in June, then I cannot be partying in November. Does that make sense? Because you realize, you know what, I'm going to get to March, I'm not going to have enough time, the work is going to be too much, the results I'm going to get will be hampered. Therefore, I'm going to change my behavior when? In November, so that the outcome in June is what I want. Have I made sense? Now, this is Bible. That means, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, okay, I won't use that example, but listen carefully. Confront your internal demons while you are planning. And while I was preparing, the Lord said to say a little bit about this, so I will. Success, or from what I gathered during the first session, that you heard that a mindset is critical. Do we agree? Do we agree? Yeah, that means if I want to change my outcome, I have to change my mindset. Do we agree? Yes? Do we agree? Okay, listen carefully. There are only three parts of you, three parts, that can be redeemed or bought back. They are found in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. The Bible says that you should love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. Write down heart in your notes. All your soul. Write down soul in your notes, leaving space between heart and soul, and all your mind. Are we together? The Lord said while I was preparing that spend time here. You will not change your outcome unless you change those three areas of your life. Let me explain heart. Follow me, please. What do you do with your heart? Your heart is what you believe with. Your heart is what you believe with. So when you believe something, you accept that something is true, with or without evidence. That's belief. It is to accept something as true based on the validity of the speaker. Human beings have the capacity to believe. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 10, that your heart is what you believe with. How important is your heart to God? Proverbs 4, verse 23. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me explain what I mean. If you do not believe that you can make it, you will not what? Make it. So you have to work on your belief system. And how do you work on your belief system? Joshua 1:8. Actually, no. Hold that verse. Let's go to soul. Ladies and gentlemen, let me break your soul down. Please let me allow me to do this for you. Your soul has three elements: intellect, emotion, and will. Intellect is how I process information to come to a conclusion. Will is what I decide with. Emotions are what I feel with. Now let me explain how powerful that is. How many people have bought something because an advert said it was good? Let me see your hands. Exactly. I can tell you, all of you have done it, but thank you guys. Put your hands down. All of you have done it, but you don't want to admit. I'll tell you why. When you go shopping for Christmas, how many people, after Christmas has passed, realize that they either bought too much food or things that they never eat simply because it was Christmas? Let me see your hands. I am. I'm a chief. I get to the shop and I think, okay, you know what? Let's buy this. Let's buy that. It's Christmas. Let's buy that. And then I realize I don't eat that. Why? Good advertising. Advertising works on your emotions, tampers with your intellect, and forces you to make a decision. Last one, mind. Your mind has two functions. Not only does it think, but it thinks forward, which is your imagination, and it thinks backwards, which is your memory. If those three things are not clear of failure or anything that is not of God, the Bible says you will produce things you don't want to see. So let me use one verse of scripture. Turn in your Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, in the King James Version of the Bible, to Psalms chapter 19, reading from verses 7 to 8. Notice what it says. I'll read. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the what? Stop for a moment. That means it's converting three things. Your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Converting them to what? To God. Notice, keep reading with me. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making what? Wise the simple. Where is wisdom? In your mind. That means you become wise in your thinking. That means you see yesterday as God sees it, and you see tomorrow as God sees it, and you see today as God sees it. That's what wisdom is. So what is wisdom? I'm watching the clock. I started at just before 10 minutes to. It's now 15 minutes past. I've got about 10 minutes left. That's wisdom. Why? I can process information. Can we go to verse 8, please? You're doing brilliantly, by the way. Thank you. The statutes of the Lord are what? Right. Rejoicing the heart. Where we get the word righteousness. Where your heart belongs to God and you always want to do what? Right. The Bible goes on and says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It allows you to see things as they really are. Listen carefully. In the planning phase for your dream and your destiny, what am I saying? Cleanse your heart, your soul, and your mind of anything except what God says. Because only what God says is guaranteed to come to pass. And let me explain that, and I will move on to four other things. Hear me well. When you cleanse, so when you start a project or you have a dream, and your mind, your heart, and your soul focus on what God focuses on, you will realize that, you know what? God will cause me to get this done. Like my little friend said, the grace of God will come into your life. Why? Because God made a promise to you. Because God said, I will help you. Because God said, I have told you that I will be with you. Because God said, if you ask for it, I will give it to you. Because God said, by my spirit, I will help you. The Bible says, through Jesus Christ, you will be able to achieve. All of a sudden, you'll have a confidence attitude. Then you will be confronting situations, not failure, not as a failure before you start, but as a success waiting to happen. Do we agree? Do we agree? All right. So, four ways God will give you a picture that will definitely come to pass. Four. Number one. By revelation, God will reveal tomorrow to you. How does he do that? I've got a few scriptures, but one scripture I want you to keep in mind. Please memorize this scripture. Joshua 1 verse 8. How will God show you tomorrow? The Bible says the following. This book of the law shall not depart. I'll quote from the Old King James. It says, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, so that you will be able to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous. And you will have good success. What does that mean? This. When the word of God is what you meditate on, it's the same way you anticipate. Like, I'm waiting for the next Avengers film. I am a movie addict. So I'm already watching it in my mind. I'm watching the clips. I'm looking for the clues. I'm waiting for the tickets to go on sale. What am I doing? I'm already there. In the same way, God says, let my word take you to where I said you can go. By the time you face the challenge, you will have a victory picture, not a picture of defeat. Does that make sense? God will reveal, this is what I'm going to do. The more you stare at something, the clearer it becomes. The more you say something, the clearer it becomes. Second, how do you build a picture that God tells you this is what he wants you to do? You focus on your gifting or your skill. That means you look at what is already present, not what is absent. What has God given you? And I've got some parents in the room and I've got children. So let me say this carefully. Proverbs 22 verse 6 from the Amplified Classic. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, in accordance with his individual gift or bent. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Therefore, the responsibility of a parent is not to make your children like you. The responsibility of a parent is to determine what God has placed in your children, and then you create an environment for that to happen. Let me give you the example. When I notice that my child is musically inclined, I will upset that child by not allowing him to play out with his friends as long as they are. But I will buy him or pay for music lessons. Why? Because I realize the gift that is in that boy needs an environment to succeed. Are we making sense? That means, listen carefully, that means as a parent, your job is not to make your children like you. Your job is to make your children the way God created them. That means you identify your gift, the gift or skill that is in your children. My daughters are very different. I have two girls. They're completely different. One of them, I have been praying to God. All she wants to do is save the world. Save the world. She has a heart that size. So what am I doing? We try and build an environment that puts structure, that puts planning, that puts thinking into her world, because she's going to go after a crusade. The younger one is completely different. She has a desire to succeed that is remarkable. So what are we doing? We are putting her in seasons and situations. We're ensuring, if you're going to be a leader, be a leader. Be open, be confident. And then what do we do? Our conversations enforce, reinforce, reassure that child that this is what God has planned for you. What has God gifted you with? Number three, what choices have you made thus far? Help shape the picture that God wants to bring to pass in your life. So if you have made choices that have enabled you to be skilled in any area, God is going to use it to bring a dream to pass. Now let me say this carefully. Half a degree is of no use. Am I clear? And it doesn't matter whether you hate the course you're studying. The God who designed the master plan knows exactly why you are studying sometimes what you hate. He will work it out. Trust him. Are we together? And this is where I'm going to close. I'm only on slide one. I have about nine. But I'll just end with this slide. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a little bit of Bible history. God rarely uses the unskilled. Listen to me very carefully. God rarely uses the unskilled. I'll give you a few examples. Moses was trained as an administrator, as an architect, as a military leader, and as a shepherd. Do we agree? He was trained to understand royalty. And Moses was the one man who could relate to God face to face because he had been trained. The Egyptian kings were deity. He knew how to interact with God. He was the one that could take a picture from God and create a tabernacle in the physical. Why? The Egyptians were builders. It was Moses that could take 3.5 million people across a desert from one land to another. Why? He had been trained as a shepherd. Listen to me very carefully. Your training is never of no use. Have I made my point? Let me repeat the first part of that. Half a degree is of no use. Finish what you started. And please, I'll say that later. The last thing I want you to remember, what chances or opportunities have been afforded to you? That means if you have the opportunity to learn a skill, or your parents have a gift, or your parents are business-minded, or you've had to work in your parents' shop long before you felt you were ready, listen to me carefully. God is going to use the opportunity in front of you to get you to your goal. Can we put Ecclesiastes 9:11 up on screen? Ecclesiastes 9:11. The Bible says the following. And I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But what? Time and chance happen to them all. But let me say this carefully. If you look at verse 10, the Bible says, whatsoever your hands find to do, do with all your might. Listen carefully. Time and chance happen to the prepared. And God will prepare you through your opportunities, the chances, the things outside of your control. God will prepare you. Last statement, and then I'll have to end this session because my time is up. The last statement is this. There is a difference between a vision and a goal. A vision has within it infallibility. That means it's a picture of tomorrow that is bound to come to pass. It governs your today. A goal has within it, maybe it will come to pass. That means let visions govern your life. And let the goals you set lead up to the fulfillment of the vision. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to remember, when God gives you a vision, He guarantees its fulfillment. Keep in mind that. So let me just summarize everything I've said so I can close this session out. And I'm only want to say one thing. Remember, the key element of you achieving your goals is the strength of the picture that you build before you start. Are we together? Are we together, ladies and gentlemen? Amen. I'll have to end this session here.